You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ready to go on a Wednesday edition of the program, a midweek edition on this March the 13th. Great to have you with us. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Got a great show for you. We are jam-packed today. Mike DeCourcy will join us from the Big Ten Network as well as from the Sporting News. We will talk about the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, talk about the way the country looks as far as bracketology is concerned, his latest thoughts about that. That'll be coming up. And then Mark Ironside will join us, the Hall of Famer, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll look back on the Big Ten Championships over in College Park, Maryland. Look back at that. Iowa State was the Big 12 champion. We'll look ahead to the national tournament, which will take place in Kansas City. So a lot to get to, including a Bowling Night in America preview for you as well. Text line is open and available at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600. As we come your way in a sunny and warm early, well, I guess we can say now mid-March afternoon here in eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. You wouldn't need a sweatshirt in here, Isaac. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that room tends to be a lot warmer than my desk out here.
You got the air conditioning blowing down upon you?
Well, sometimes it blows the wrong air. There's been several times during the winter, sometimes we blow cold air over here, and sometimes during the summer it blows warm air. So it just depends on the day.
You are making me really warm over here watching you in the hooded sweatshirt.
It's more for when I leave. It's a little bit cooler when I get out of here.
I know that. And Mark joins us from the back porch, which is absolutely pristine, I would imagine, today. How you doing?
Good afternoon, and it is. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone. And Isaac, you know, I just blow hot air.
Ba-dum-bum. He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. That is certainly the case. Lots to get to here on the program. Power 5, Power 6, if you will, in college basketball. Conference tournament action is underway. We'll talk about that with Mike DeCourcy coming up here in just a little bit. One game of note, Big 12 action going on right now. Somebody's going to have to explain to me how the Oklahoma Sooners are, if they continue to get railed on by TCU, how Oklahoma is in the field of 68 right now. They 8-10 in the Big 12. They are losing by a dozen in the first half to TCU in an 8-9 game. Yet most people, and we'll ask Mike about it. If Oklahoma is out, if they lose today, if that's going to damage them or not, being two games under 500 in the best conference in America. Yes, understand that. But I don't know. For me, this would be a very damaging loss if I'm an Oklahoma fan, Mark.
Yeah, you would think so. That's an 8-9 game in the Big 12 tournament. And, you know, it's 14 points right now. But we saw earlier UCF come back and make it a game with BYU. BYU did prevail in those two teams' first go-around and the Big 12 tournament. So, flurry of action today and more to come.
Virginia Tech went down today. They were on the bubble in the ACC. They are not going to make the tournament, which is going to help the bubble teams, no doubt about that. And that includes Iowa out there and Indiana State and others. And, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Last night, of course, it was the Iowa State women falling to Oklahoma in the finals of the Big 12 championship and the Big 12 tournament as it was Oklahoma jumping out to a big lead in that particular ball game and putting away Iowa State, winning it 70-53. Still a great showing by the Cyclones. They had two on the all-tournament team. Audie Crooks and I believe Emily Ryan both made the all-tournament team. Iowa State's name will get called probably. I would think they're going to stay on that eight line. We'll have to wait and see how it all shakes out when the rest of the conference tournaments have concluded. But, you know, no shame in losing to a 30-win Texas team last night, Mark.
No, it's about what I expected, but I'll tell you what, Iowa State is a really a gritty ball club, and when it, you know, Crooks had a nice game against a very tall Texas team, and when Iowa State can hit the threes and play some defense, it's going to be a tough out. I think you're looking at the eight line probably right now.
I would agree. I would agree with that, and which means you're going to have to, if you win your 8-9 neutral court game, you're going to have to take on either Stanford, what is it, Stanford, Iowa, USC, who am I missing right? South Carolina right now on their home floor in the second round. We'll see if they, we'll see what kind of humor the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament Committee has if they put Iowa State on the 8 line. And a possible rematch with the Hawkeyes. Do you think it's a possibility, Mark?
Well, until we get the seeds, I guess I don't know. But, I mean, if Iowa is a one, and it should be, if Iowa State is an 8 or a 9, I don't think it's going to be a 7. So if Iowa State wins that first game, like I said, there's a 25% chance of that happening.
5713 says they'd like to see Audie Crooks versus Cameron Brink, who, much like Caitlin Clark said a couple of weeks ago, she is going to bypass her final year of eligibility. She had a COVID year as well, and the terrific center from Stanford is going to go into the WNBA draft. 319-366-1600 here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class at 312. We're going to check in with Mike DeCourcy coming up here. We're going to get him on the phone, and thanks to him, because he's a very busy man right now with the Big Ten tournament. He's also involved in the Big East tournament and both of those getting underway. So we thank Mike for joining us here today and really looking forward to talking with him. There's plenty to discuss as far as college basketball is concerned. And we're going to do that coming up here in just a couple moments. And then Mark Ironside will join us here in just a little bit. And we'll talk about Iowa's chances, what he thinks the Hawks look like as far as the NCAA tournament. Do they have a shot? What do they have to do? Et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk with Mike coming up here in just a couple of moments, and then we'll shift to wrestling on the back half of the program. We will get to your question 3702, by the way, about the news today coming out of Lincoln, Nebraska. We will do that here in just a little bit. But want to bring in Mike DeCourcy now. Of course, you watch him on the Big Ten Network with the sporting news, also helping out with the Big East as well. And a guy who's this is Christmas time for you, right, Mike?
Oh, if I'm Santa, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody else gets all the gifts and I do all the work. Yeah, yeah. Except I've been able to stay in better shape over the years than Santa, I think.
Well, we got the Big Ten tournament opening up today, and Iowa will not play until tomorrow against Ohio State. Two teams that still have possibilities to get in. I think Ohio State's in a little bit better shape right now, even after the coaching change. I guess your thoughts about that game. Does Iowa have a chance, and what do they have to do to get in?
Well, I thought that if they won the Illinois home game, that they would be in the position to knock on the door, to be close, that they wouldn't be in, certainly. but that they would be close and that maybe some success in Minneapolis would be enough to do it. And unfortunately, that isn't – unfortunately for Hawkeyes fans, that isn't the way it turned out. That they didn't play particularly well in that Illinois game. I thought that they got frustrated by Illinois finally playing defense the way they're capable of playing, and they got frustrated quickly. And that cost them because they were taking tough shots way outside of what their normal offense is at a time when it hadn't been long enough for them to get that frustrated that fast. And so that cost them. And when they weren't able to complete it. So it puts them in a position, though, where they can get two pretty good quality wins if they're able to land them. And it does allow them to avoid Purdue. So if they get the Ohio State win, that's a solid win, probably a quad two-ish, maybe borderline quad one win. And then obviously Illinois is a short quad one, a high-end quad one win if they're able to get it. And then they wouldn't have to play Purdue to continue. They'd either at that point play Nebraska or Indiana or someone like that. So they would be in a good spot. And now that the championship game, if you beat Purdue or whoever, you get the bid anyway. So the fact that the championship game doesn't count in the committee's deliberations, which the committee has acknowledged for years because of its late start time relative to the presentation of the bracket, I would say that at that point they would have a pretty good read on what Iowa's resume is, and they would have picked up two quad ones and a borderline, a high-end quad two win at the very minimum if they were able to get to that final.
Terrific Missouri Valley Conference championship game, Mike. As you saw, Drake beat Indiana State, and all it did really, great news for Drake, but reignited the debate about Indiana State. I think it's a quality basketball team and should be in the field, but where do you stand?
Well, you know, I think they're certainly a quality basketball team, but unfortunately, that's true of a lot of teams. I mean, Pitt right now, that's a good basketball team. If you watch them play now, they're very good. The Hawkeyes on their better days have been very good. Ohio State has been very good. But what the door that Indiana State left open, and it's a back door on the way out of the field, is that, okay, so they played Alabama and Michigan State. Nobody's going to hold that against them. They were very competitive against Michigan State. Both of those were road games, neither neutral. So that from that standpoint, there's nothing against them. But relative to an at-large bid in the Indiana State circumstance, what ordinarily would be a clear, obvious choice to put them in would be if it was Indiana State, Drake, rather than Drake, Indiana State, Drake, if you know what I mean. That's how the winners of their three games went. So in a sense, pretty much the four toughest games that Indiana State played, they lost every one of them. They lost the Drake road game. They lost the Drake neutral game. They lost the Alabama and Michigan State game. Their best win was Bradley on the road. That's not a lot to build a resume on, and that's their problem. That's why that door is open to push them out the back door. It's not inevitable. Their metrics are very good. The committee will be tempted if they can. I think to put them in Dayton can say, okay, you're that good. Let's see it. I think the committee would love to do that. But again, that depends on what some of the teams I mentioned and some of the teams you mentioned, Buckeyes, Pitt Panthers, Wake Forest is playing now, what some of them do and whether or not they make a case that you can't leave them out.
Well, one of those teams, I think, Mike, is Oklahoma. And we started the program by talking about the Sooners. Right now, down double digits early, well, just ahead of halftime now to TCU. What's Oklahoma's status at this time? Are they going to be the ninth Big 12 team, or does this put them on the brink of being out?
You know, what's funny is that they haven't really been close to out for anybody that I'm aware of. they have been an in team all year long. If you look at the bracket matrix, which has a consensus of all the online brackets that are out there, some of them are from people like Joe Lenardi and Jerry Palm and myself, or Shelby Mast, people like that who've done this for a long time. Some are, I'm sure that there are some that are really advanced mathematically and do some phenomenal things, and I'm sure there's some others that just say, hey, here's my bracket, and it winds up in this thing. But 123 brackets are gathered at the Matrix right now, and every one of them has Oklahoma in, and they are a consensus 9 seed. So I know they've played badly lately, but badly lately doesn't matter. If you play badly for a week and then play well, and badly for a week and then play well, and you wind up with the Oklahoma resume, you're probably in. People are tempted a lot of times because of late collapses to think, well, they cost themselves. But they put themselves in a pretty good spot to begin with. The interesting thing, you look at it, and if they lose this TCU game, they'll be 4-12 against Quad 1. And that's not usually a tournament resume. But the quads have been weird this year. I mean, Auburn is 6th in the nation in net ranking, and that's not the only predictive metric that loves Auburn. I can click and tell you that KenPom thinks they're wonderful too. KenPom has them even better. They have them 4. BPI has them 6. The results metrics, strength of record has them 8. KPI has them 16. Excuse me, and KPI has them 8. So there isn't a metric you can find that doesn't like Auburn, doesn't love Auburn, and they're 1-7 against Quad 1. So I don't know that that kicks Oklahoma out of the field to have a bad quad record.
Do I see in your latest bracketology you have Iowa State a 2?
Yes. Yes, they've been a 2 for about 2 weeks or so since they kind of knocked Kansas off that line. Kansas has continued to descend a little bit to the edge of the 3 line. There are some that used last weekend's result to elevate Creighton out ahead of Iowa State. I don't think Creighton is quite there yet. I think they can get there in the Big East tournament, and if Iowa State does not succeed in KC, but I still have them as the last 2 seed, and I can defend it based on their metrics. I can defend it based on some quality road wins, Texas, TCU, making sure you took care of home court against Houston and Kansas. So there's a lot there. I would have liked them to play a better non-conference schedule. But I'm not, you know, I'm a believer that you play the conference, you play the schedule that you think is best for your team. And then if it costs you a seed line or whatever, maybe you wouldn't be, at this point 24-7 if you'd played a harder schedule, because your guys maybe needed a little time to figure out with personnel changes and things like that. Maybe you need a little time to figure it out. There are people in my business who, if you put up a weak non-conference schedule, they blast you, they call you gutless or whatever. I understand how teams need to be built. And some teams, like, 2006-07 Florida, they came in with a national championship. They needed to play as many hard teams as they could, because otherwise they'd be bored. They brought every guy back from a championship team. But that wasn't the case for Iowa State. So I don't have any problem with what they did with their schedule. It may cost them going from the 2 to the 3 line, but I think it'll be more in the end performance this weekend that will make the decision there.
Last one from me, Mike. Who's the team that no one wants to see opposite of them from, you know, mid-majors or a conference, even beneath the mid-majors? I got a couple, but I'll let you answer first.
Well, I think that one of them, and that this team is not in yet. They start their championship game in about 35 minutes. That's McNeese.
Yep.
They have dominated their league under Will Wade, his first year at McNeese. They have been destructive in the Southland. It's not a great, great league, but they've produced some really significant teams over the years. Stephen F. Austin going back a little ways, won a lot of tournament games or threatened to win a lot of tournament games, and launched Brad Underwood into a very successful high major career. So you can come out of the South Lane and do some damage. And the difference with Brad's team back then was they were looking at 14s and 15s in terms of seeding. I think that McNeese, if they win today, will probably be a 12 and might even push up to an 11.
Mm. Tell you, James Madison, I think no one wants to see.
Yeah, that's a good one. Absolutely. App State would have liked to have seen James Madison because they took him down twice, but then couldn't take out their semifinal opponent and get to James Madison. Worked out well for James Madison, and they'll be in the field. It's a very good team, obviously defeated Michigan State in back in November and got the season started off right. And then their difficulty in matching up with Appalachian State, it was their good fortune that App lost in the semifinals, and they didn't have to try to figure it out the third time.
True. Very, very true. Hey, Mike, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. Great to hear your insight. And we'll follow all your bracketology and everything on the Big Ten Network and on the sporting news. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
You bet. Mike DeCourcy joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN at 325. Mark Ironside will be here in just a moment or two. And with that in mind, Mark, before that, we want to throw it to you for an Emil Sideways scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. What do we have on the scoreboard?
Cedar Falls native Trev Alberts reportedly is going to be the next athletic director at Texas A&M, moving from Nebraska. I don't see anything finalized on that yet, but heavy reporting in that regard. Announced yesterday, the Big 12 tournament, basketball tournaments, will remain in Kansas City through the year 2031. A couple of baseball notes. Gerrit Cole, the Yankee star and returning Cy Young Award winner, will be out 4 to 8 weeks, reportedly, at a minimum, with an arm injury. And also in that category, but worse, Boston's Lucas Giolito, the former White Sox, out for the season. In NFL news, a couple Iowa Hawkeyes will be playing for the Carolina Panthers next season. Amir Smith-Marset staying in Carolina. Josie Jewell is moving from Denver to Carolina on a 3-year deal. And finally, Scott, I had to pick this out, the ultimate March Madness story. In the West Coast Women's Basketball Championship game, Portland defeated Gonzaga 67-66. What makes that noteworthy is that 2 weeks ago, Gonzaga beat Portland by 50 points.
50? The Portland Pilots are in the women's tournament. Gonzaga will be as well. But
yeah, they're 30-3, so but quite a reversal for Portland.
I know Gonzaga men lost last night, but just the sheer fact that they were making their 27th straight appearance in the West Coast Conference championship game, and that is not a bad league either. Not quite as good as it was when they had BYU, but San Francisco's very good. Santa Clara's been good over the years. 27 straight years in the championship game. That is a pretty amazing statistic right there.
Remarkable run.
They did lose last night to St. Mary's, though, in the WCC final. All right, quick break. Come back. Mark Ironside here. We'll talk some college wrestling with you when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have clouds building in as we head into this afternoon, and tonight after midnight, we'll have a chance for showers and some storms increasing, and some of these storms could produce small hail and gusty winds. Rain will be lingering into Thursday morning. We'll have clouds through the day with some showers on and off, temperatures held in the 50s, with the potential for stronger storms remaining near and south of the Iowa-Missouri border. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sportsbook of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. Bet on all your favorite sports with live in-game wagers, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Start today at empower.com.
Get to the live events you love with the assist from Vivid Seats. Whether it's the upcoming baseball season, basketball, or hockey, experience it live with a 100% buyer guarantee. And with great deals on great seats, being there is all that matters. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn with every ticket purchase, including surprise seat upgrades, birthday discounts, free tickets, and more. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and I want to talk to you about the Fried Chicken for Life sweepstakes that's going on right now. And all you need to do to enter that is to go online, go to quickstar.com/friedchickenforlife. And if you are lucky enough to win that, you get 1 8-piece bone-in fried chicken per week for life. And if you are a chicken aficionado, you need to stop at Quick Star because they've got all of the chicken situation handled. You got bone-in fried chicken, roasted whole chicken, which is prepared fresh daily. Great for easy dinners or meal prep. Also, they've got chicken tenders. You can get a 3 or 8-piece hand-breaded, and they are also prepared fresh daily. And now, boneless wings. Try those at your neighborhood Quick Star. So again, go to quickstar.com and go to /friedchickenforlife. You must be 18 years of age or older to enter.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
And a big thanks to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt is on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Check out, stop on by, say hi. He's there. He loves to talk. He'll talk wrestling with you all day. And he'll sell you some insurance. Good guy.
Yeah, he'll also talk some turkey hunting, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's right up my alley.
There you go. Deer, turkey, doesn't matter.
I'm getting pretty stoked for turkey hunting right now.
You ready to go?
I tell you what, as soon as this weather right now today, I've been out and about all day long, and whew.
It's warm in here.
It's hard to go back to the office, but yeah, this weather's getting me pretty pumped up for turkey season, and then also obviously racing season too. So
that's right around the corner.
Both of them are right around the corner and come simultaneously, so as soon as next week's over, bam, it's into turkey time.
Got to get the wrestling done first.
Yep.
Got to get the wrestling done first. Mark joining us here on a Wednesday. And obviously, College Park, Maryland last week. And Penn State won. Everybody kind of knew that was going to be the case. Iowa finished fourth behind Michigan and Nebraska, ahead of Ohio State. And I guess your thoughts, overall thoughts.
Would we like, when you look at, like, you and I were just kind of talking about it just a minute ago off the air, but like when you look at it, you see Iowa fourth, you're like, oh man, they really stunk it up, fourth place in the Big Ten, but they didn't really. It wasn't a bad tournament for them. They didn't wrestle poorly. They didn't wrestle like great, like way above their seeds or anything like that. That's kind of where we're at. I mean, to be honest with you, that's how the cards fall. And, you know, you can go up and down the lineup, which we can, but nobody really had a bad tournament. And kudos to Penn State. They're doing what they do, and they win by 60 points, and they don't even have Strachey in the lineup yet. You know, I mean, that's just insane. And they're wrestling above their seeds, and that's just they're on another planet right now. Michigan had a really good tournament. Nebraska had a good tournament. We had a good tournament. It just, I think you could re-wrestle it again, and you could see Michigan and Nebraska and Iowa all maybe in different positions. You know, we could get second, Nebraska get second. Michigan get fourth, they could get third, you know. Nebraska get fourth. It's just that close, and it kind of depends on the pairings and the matchups. And but then they all had, you know, decent bonus points as well, too. So, you know, Iowa wrestled overall. I thought they wrestled okay. It's just, unfortunately, right now, we're so used to always being the top dog or at least trying to compete for the top spot. But that's not where we're at right now.
Yeah, Mark, my math showed that three of the Iowa guys wrestled above their seeds, three slightly below, and three right at their seeds. So it kind of supports your argument that it wasn't a bad tournament. And I thought Iowa showed a lot of resolve in the wrestlebacks and the placing matches. Not totally, but really good rounds there.
Yeah, we had a good day on Sunday. They came back strong and competed well. The only one, you know, I was a little bit disappointed in Patrick Kennedy on Sunday, you know, against Welsh from Ohio State. Just, you know, he lost in overtime, and that's a match that, you know, he can win, and he just didn't pull the trigger. And I asked him actually too, when we were getting on the bus after, I was like, hey, you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? And I was like, I mean, are you healthy? And because I seen he had a sleeve on his right elbow all of a sudden on Sunday, and I was like, well, maybe he can't, like, grip with his right hand, you know? I mean, if you can't grip, there's something wrong with your elbow or a tendon, and you can't grip, well, that plays a huge factor, you know, in what you can and cannot do in the sport of wrestling. And he goes, no, I'm fine. And then it must have got to him because he came up to me on the plane, and he started talking to me a little bit about his wrestling and certain things, kind of like where he felt he was at. And so, you know, he's aware of it. So, but you know, it's not like he wrestled terrible or nothing, and he won a big match for fifth. And Caliendo, he beats Amin twice in the tournament. That's freaking great. You know, it just, I don't know, even Riggins, who got, I think, 10th, but he improved the second half of the season. He improved throughout the tournament. He didn't have a bad tournament. Glazier gets second. He got just absolutely smoked by Brooks. Which
a lot of people do.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And I think a lot of people, you know, have said, like, oh, boy, he really went backwards since the last time he wrestled Brooks. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think he really went backwards. I just think Brooks didn't really perform that well the first time they wrestled. And I think he respected, you know, Glazier, as he should have, that first time a little bit, and maybe a little bit too much. And I think this time he's like, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to wrestle my match. And that's what he did. And that's the difference, I think, between, you know, Brooks of Penn State and then the rest of the country. And that's what you saw. So I was a little disappointed in Glazier's match against Smith in the semifinals from Maryland, which he won the match, but he just didn't go out and get after it like he probably should have. So there were some matches that we didn't compete in that, you know, we could have. But then there's also some matches. I mean, look at Brody Teske. I mean, he has a fantastic tournament. We lose that match against Van Dee for Nebraska on Saturday or Sunday morning for the WrestleBack semifinals, and which is a crazy heated match between Iowa and Nebraska and the coaching staffs and the teams behind the benches. And you know what? And the referee of that match, so how he lost, we didn't see it. And that was the problem. I could not see where I was at that mat very right. good at all. All the cameras, for like the Big Ten Network and stuff for the finals mat, was in my way. So what happened was Van Dee supposedly took down in overtime, took down Teske, but Teske kept scrambling out of it. He was on his hip, but he never like went to his belly or anything like that, and then came up and then ended up getting his own takedown, and Jason Wedgbury, the head referee of that match, issued two for Teske. Well, Nebraska throws the block in, the challenge block. It goes to independent review up above. They overturn it and say, no, Van Dee had that takedown. I talked to Wedgbury later and after that was over, and he sticks by his guns. That was not a takedown. But at that point in time, that's up to the independent review. And he said the same thing that I saw on the replay was the fact that he was on his hip. He never really officially got control of. He was on his hip. He never gave up total control or position, and he scrambled. It was great wrestling on Teske's part, and it was just unfortunate because Teske had a great tournament.
He did.
For the unfortunate situation going in, getting seeded 14th, and, that would have given an opportunity to go for third or fourth. So, but he still came back. He got fifth, and he did well.
He did. He did. And if you take a look at the positives, five Iowa wrestlers ended up, fourth or better. Positive right there. Glazer get to the finals. Drake Ayala beat Ramos in the third place match. I thought that was a big win right there. As you mentioned, Caliendo did his thing. So, you can build off this a little bit. Problem is, you got to build off of it now.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Drake Ayala, revenges a loss from earlier in the season to Matt Ramos. That's another big matchup that we won right there. And you can go up and down the lineup, and everybody had some good wins throughout that tournament. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens at the national tournament. I still believe it, you could take second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and re-wrestle them pretty much every time. You're going to have a different placing of a different position for each one of those teams. And it's just a matter of who peaks at the right time. But one thing's for certain is Penn State, they might as well just put their name on the trophy right now, because unless something really, really bad happens to their team bus on the way there or something, I mean, I don't see anything changing there.
Mark is D'Agostino. He's just a squirrely wrestler, a really good one. Is he a bad matchup for Ayala? What do you think?
I think it. I don't say a bad matchup. I just think that Drake should have, after the first time losing to him in overtime at Michigan, he should know that that's how D'Agostino wrestles. That's how what he wants. That he wants the match come down to the very, very, very end on one scramble position. Drake has to know that, and somehow, some way, he has to get between his ears that I need to score early. Like that first whistle, I have to wrestle my match. I have to get to the legs. I need to attack, and knowing that there's probably going to be some scrambles and this and that. But the thing is, if you wrestle like that, Dax, he doesn't like to work hard. He's going to get tired, and therefore he's going to falter some point in time throughout that match, and he's going to throw the towel in eventually. But when we just kind of stand around for two periods with him and let him wrestle his match and not allow him to get tired, or don't put no pressure on him and not create any scramble type of situations, let it come down to the very end late in the third period and one score wins, you know what? That favors D'Agostino. I mean, it really does. And it almost worked for him against who do you have in the semis he ended up getting beat by? I can't even remember. D'Agostino. Same type of situation. Came down to the very end, but he ended up losing. But I thought it was a terrible call. Oh, it was against Brandon Davis of Penn State is who that was against. Okay. And it was not me cheering against Penn State. I think it was for sure the wrong call, because D'Agostino, he was on his hip, kind of a little bit like the Teske thing. He was on his hip the entire time, and then he was able to come up and get his arm through. There was never, never control of that. There's no way that was a takedown. So D'Agostino kind of got robbed there. He should have been in the finals, and Davis should have been wrestling, for third or fifth. But they reviewed it, and they overlooked it. They didn't see it that way, but I'm telling you, that was the wrong call for sure, because they showed that on the big screen probably five times, and there was never control there. So I don't know what the referees were seeing in that one.
It's a long tournament for them.
It is a long tournament. I was thinking, too, I was watching that tournament on Sunday. Boy, I'd hate to be a referee sometimes, because things happen just so fast, and it's just so – sometimes they're just so – judgment. Man, I don't know. You could go either way on that one. But some of those, though, they kind of put on themselves too.
Couple questions here on the text line. 5037 asking about Ayala and his aggressiveness. What do you think about that? Is he still at the top of his game where he's been since his freshman year?
Well, I think, you know, I think I already talked a little bit about it versus the DeAgostino thing, but I think when he gets in big matches, he tends to tighten up a little bit. I think if he's wrestling someone that he knows that he could probably win and win handily, I think he's a little bit more open and he gets after a little bit more. But I think in the bigger matches, he is afraid of giving up a 3-point takedown and it makes him a little bit gun shy. So for sure, but you can't go in and step foot on a wrestling mat with that type of mentality. You just can't. You got to be able to get on the mat and act like the first whistle is the last, and you got to wrestle every second in between. And that's the biggest area that he needs to get better at. It's just really making someone wrestle his pace for 7 minutes and then some if need be. What else you got? Do you have another question on there?
Mark's got it.
Yeah. 85-82. Did the Hamity finals match surprise you?
It surprised me how fast at the end of that match that what's his name? Committee?
Yeah, like that.
Penn State.
That guy.
He came storming back. Hamity came out and looked really good. The Commandity, or I cannot think of his name. I apologize to him, but he was not ready for the defense of Hamity at all. But the thing is Hamity got really, really, really tired. Like, really tired. And he also got hurt. I don't know if they showed it on TV or not, but when that match was over, Hamity could hardly, barely even walk off that mat. Yeah. His knee got torqued really, really bad, it looked like. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him at the national tournament. But, I mean, it didn't surprise me because the kid from Penn State is so aggressive and so perpetual motion. It doesn't matter what the score is. Kid doesn't stop, and that's freaking awesome. And that's how you do it, and that's how you come from behind. I'm just surprised that Hamity, being a veteran and as long and lanky and just as good as he is, gave up that many points that fast. And I think he just, you know, he spent all of his gas in the first period or two and then didn't have really anything left in the tank towards the end of the match. And I think also getting hurt in there obviously had something to do with it too.
One question about the Big 12 and then talk about the Big 12, even though you were at College Park for the Big 10. But 85-82 is, I think, a really good question here. Does Bastida have a legit shot against Kirkfleet?
No.
No?
No.
He's that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just as athletic, if not more athletic, and he's bigger. He does not. I mean, I think if anybody has a shot at him, it'd probably be Bastida. But does he have a legit shot? I don't think so.
Messenbrink, by the way.
Messenbrink, yeah. Thank you, Messenbrink.
Everyone's texting in Messenbrink right there. Iowa State wins the Big 12. Wrestled really, really well. Okie State got second, but
Bonus points. Iowa State had a ton of bonus points. And that's where it overcame is, you know, I saw somewhere that Okie State, I think Annie Hamilton from Flow posted something where Okie State won maybe more matches or something on Saturday, but Iowa State had so many more bonus points. And that's another thing that comes into huge play at the national tournament down in Kansas City next week is a lot of those matches and those team races are going to come down to bonus points and who's going to come out and try and just win a wrestling match and who's going to come out and try and dominate a wrestling match. And second through probably sixth or seventh in the country is going to be decided upon that. So it's going to be very interesting and fun to watch. Kansas City is a hot, hot ticket to get. I've had a few people just texting me today wanting tickets, and I'm telling you, there's really not much out there available. And for what there is, I mean, you're talking like $1,000 for an all-session ticket for just regular seating. If you want a suite seat, you're looking at $3,000. I'm like, who's spending this kind of money? Go home and watch it on TV. The ESPN coverage is fantastic, you know? But whatever, you know, it's fun to
but
go down.
But you're in the arena then.
Yeah, I see. I get it.
You're in the arena there. Great job by Tanner Sloan.
Yeah.
Won 197 at the Big 12s. Beat Volker in an All-Eastern Iowa semifinal. That was cool. Volker, freshman, kind of got the worst end of that deal from Tanner Sloan. But
that's really cool to see, though.
Good for him. And then the MOP was a UNI wrestler. So
Downey?
No.
Kekeisen.
Kekeisen.
Parker, yeah.
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 So good job by UNI and Iowa State and South Dakota State.
Yeah, you and I had a good showing there. That Downey, my mom was the one telling me about the Downey and Chittum match. So I got to watch that and pull that up. But I got another phone call today about that too.
That was great.
About that match. So it was like 3-3 and triple overtime or double overtime went down to the wire or whatever. So and they both picked up in overtime, which is something you don't typically normally ever see. So. But yeah, it's I think that you know the Big 12's not what the Big 10 is, obviously. But it made for an exciting Big 10 tournament or Big 12 tournament for sure. And it's going to see kind of the real question is, and the exciting thing where I feel a lot of the excitement is and a lot of like question marks going into the tournament is like, how are all these teams really going to mesh with all the pairings, which is tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 p.m. Iowa time on ESPN.com is the show showing or whatever for all the pairings tonight. So that'll be interesting to see and how that comes out. And I don't remember them ever doing that before.
No, that's
all
cool.
At one time at 7 o'clock, so at night. Usually they do it throughout the day today, and they come out with a new bracket about every 20 minutes to a half an hour or whatever. So I don't know. That's why you go and you wrestle them. But I don't think Iowa really hurt themselves. I know a lot of people were questioning me. Why didn't Franek wrestle against Rob on Sunday? You know, because one, we go into the tournament a half a point behind Nebraska for third place, which, you know, we're wrestling for third place. It's like, okay, I mean, I know third's better than fourth, but at that point in time. And the other thing is he already beat Rob once in that tournament, but his eye, he got cut really bad right below the eyebrow first match of the tournament. Bad, like really bad, down through the muscle tissue and everything. And he literally, when he got on the plane, he sat right behind me, and he couldn't even see out of the eye. Mm. It was completely, completely swollen shut. And that really messes with your depth perception when you cannot see at all out of an eye. And he's already wrestled Rob once. He beat him. I think it was the right move, just a medical forfeit at that point in time. I mean, you're not really going to gain anything. You had a lot more to lose. And if he was completely 100% healthy, that doesn't happen. But he couldn't even see out of it. It was swollen completely shut, just huge. And it was kind of like looking at Rocky Balboa when he asked him for Mickey to cut him, you know. And that's pretty much what they would have had it done.
True. True.
Well, marking those NCAA seedings are real quick. Is it the RPI? What all goes into the seedings?
Three different things, I think. RPI, coaches ranking, and then head-to-head type stuff comes into there and play. There's a lot of different criteria, three of them. But the RPI is one of the bigger ones. So, but I don't know how what equates to what. But the coaches ranking is a big one. RPI, and then obviously head-to-heads too.
And congratulations to the Iowa women.
Yeah, the Iowa women won a national championship.
Came down to the last
That's
match.
That's so amazing. You know what? I'm really, really happy for them. I'm happy for Clarissa Chun and Kylie Welker, her first recruit ever. Before she even had a team put together, before she even had a coaching staff put together, Kylie Welker commits. And it comes down to where she has to win that match in order for them to win a national title and for her to win a national title against a very tough opponent. And that girl came out battling like right away. I remember on Saturday night, Steven and my radio partner, we just got back to our hotel room, and before we even sat down to eat or anything, we pulled that match up on Flow and were able to watch that finals match on our phone. We shared a phone to watch it, and really, really cool and awesome for Clarissa Chun and their program, because I mean it was no gimme to win a national title over North Central. The rest of the country, yeah, pretty much. But North Central was tough. They added some athletes and wrestlers to their team throughout the season, which was not going to happen if it was NCAA sanctioned. But since it was what it was, it allowed to happen. It was kind of, I don't know, I think that was kind of below the belt on how a lot of that went, kind of all happened and took place. So good for the Iowa women to capture that national title and right here in Cedar Rapids. So that's
a good
fantastic
crowd too.
Yeah, really, really good crowd. Stacy Olson, my store manager, she was there for the selling some stuff, Iowa women stuff, and she was texting me and telling me how loud the place was anytime Iowa would do something well and stuff, and knew a lot of people there and said it was a great environment and really cool to see in person.
Yeah, hopefully back here many, many, many times after that. Are you good for next Wednesday, or we got to move it?
I will be good. I will be setting up at FanFest. So I'll just be on my cell phone, but I will be setting up at FanFest somewhere.
Mark, live from Kansas City.
Yeah, I'll be live from Kansas City. And if I say I got to go real quick, that's because Stacy's giving me the evil eye because I'm just standing there talking and not working. She gets
on me. Would you like
me
to talk to her?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I will talk to her and let her know that you're helping us out.
Yeah.
Who runs that joint anyway?
Well, the store, the Iowa Style Building, that is 100% Stacy. She scares me. She just like she just looks at me right wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, here you go. I'll see you later. I let her think she runs the place, Mark.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Pick your battles. Choose your battles.
All right. Talk to you in Kansas City, Mark.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
Dive deep into the world of sports betting on WagerWise every Wednesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Powered by Betfred Sportsbook.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-1010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-1010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-1010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Back with you at 3:56. Come on up tomorrow. It'll be Kevin Lehman, the coach, as we will have our off-the-glass segment talking college basketball. We'll preview Iowa and Ohio State and talk about the Big 12 as well. And Mark, one more piece of business. That is the Bowling Night in America preview. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America. I'm back tonight, baby.
Yes, you are. Hopefully the Rusty Nails will be back after a rough week last week. Lane's 21-22 Rusty Nails against the team with the longest sponsorship name in the league, Bari Italian / Premium Karaoke.
We're not singing karaoke.
Tonight.
We're not singing, by the way. People are coming
Rusty
out for
Nails
that.
Rusty Nails tied for fourth and trying to move up.
Trying to move up, indeed, and could have an alum tonight. So there you go. Looking forward to that. Just throwing that out there in case, good tickets are still available to head on out there to May City Bowl. So looking forward to that. We'll have a complete report and a wrap-up coming up for you tomorrow. And you want to inquire about open bowling, and, you know, we're getting to that point, Mark. People want to think about summer leagues. They need to contact May City Bowl.
The number is 362-0136, and a lot of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah, and a lot of kids like the summer leagues, and that gets them enthused for bowling. So a good chance to get your youngster acclimated, if you will. TCU is ahead of Oklahoma 57-42. As Spencer and I looked before our show got going here, Oklahoma's best non-conference win may be the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm not buying the Oklahoma. With all due respect to all the bracketologists, I am not buying the Oklahoma is solidly in this field yet. So I'm sure they are, but not proving it so far today. But we'll talk about that and more college basketball. Mark, tomorrow we'll talk to you then.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock in College Hoops tonight.
To my newborn baby boy, the day you arrived was one of the happiest days of my life. Right up there with the day I bought